Isaiah 40 through 48 is a pretty amazing stretch of scripture. If you understand what he's saying, these nine chapters, they contain a lot concerning God's prophetic word. There's three basic people groups that he was speaking to, or three generations, really. And Isaiah was prophesying the release of the children of Israel from captivity of Babylon. And they were put in captivity because of the idolatry. And, I mean, if you think that your little sins move God, listen, God put up with Israel for thousands of years before they really got him angry. One king after another, the things that they did, he finally had enough. He said, that's it. And he goes, I'm delivering you to captivity. He put him under Babylonian captivity for 70 years. But now he's come back. God's come back, and now he's ready to be merciful again. You have to understand, God doesn't stay angry very long. He's just not his nature. His nature's love. But if you ever get him to the point where he's angry, you're in trouble. Amen? But his nature's love, he's always going to come back around and be merciful to you. He's full of love and compassion. So now he's ready to be merciful to them. Now he's sending Isaiah to prophesy to them. It's like, I'm now prophesying that I'm coming to get you out from Babylon. I'm going to raise up a leader. And he talks about Cyrus three or four or five times during that stretch of scripture. He's also embedded within that. He's talking about the Messiah, Christ, to come. He speaks a lot about Christ in that double realm there. And he's also speaking of a third generation. It's one of the few times in scriptures speaking of three different generations. Isn't that amazing? So he's speaking at the time of Israel releasing from Babylon. He's also talking about us being released from the captivity of sin and the Messiah. He's also speaking to that third generation, which is what we understand now, the Trump Cyrus generation. We understand he's speaking of this time that he's raised up another Cyrus. He really didn't know me at the time, but I've raised him up. But I've done this because of my people. Amen. And I'm going to release my people out from Babylonian captivity again. And the Babylonian captivity in our generation is financial captivity. He's going to bring us out of that system and a liberation and a wealth transference that the world's never seen. And so there's coming a liberty and a freedom in the children of Israel. But what I want to hone in on is what God was saying to them over and over and over again through these eight chapters. And I'm just going to take you through some of these sayings because he's making a point about their idolatry. And he's making a point about what their idols could actually do for them. He goes, you serve these idols. You carve them up out of wood. You put them on a plateau. You serve them. And what do they do for you, actually? He goes, and then he starts telling them what I will do for you. Now, I want you to catch this part, because this part, every single one of these prophetic utterances belong to us as the Trump Cyrus generation, because legally we've been released. The 70 years have been fulfilled as of May 14th. We're free. You've heard our teachings. You understand what that means. We are in season. Everyone say, we're in season. You haven't heard those teachings. You need to hear those teachings. You need to understand prophetically what's going on in the body of Christ and what God's about to do. Now he has all these scriptures he's speaking. We've been talking about the seven spirits of God. We've been talking about the seven eyes of the Lord. We've been talking about the operations of omnipresent, omniscience, omnipotent dominion. All of this is contained in these prophetic utterances. And I want you to see what God is saying to our generation all the way back there. Amen. And what he's saying to you. Amen. So Isaiah 40 verse 1, he said, comfort you, my people, saith your God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. In other words, your suffering's been accomplished. You say your warfare is over. In other words, he's speaking, the warfare is over. Say the warfare is over. That her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received of the Lord's hands double. Now, really, they deserved it, honestly. I mean, if you read about the idolatry of Israel. But now he's ready to release them. He's ready to come and get them. And he starts speaking these prophetic utterances. Go to chapter 41 now. We're going to walk through about eight chapters. I'm not going verse by verse. I just want to take some key verses. But if you really want to get encouraged, I encourage you to read chapter 40 through 48 this week in the light of our prophetic generation. Amen? Okay, so verse 2, he said, now he's speaking to Cyrus here, so he's going to thread this in. But listen, where there is a Cyrus, there's the freedom of the children of Israel. Amen? Where there's a Trump, whether you like him or not, it's not about politics. It's about God set this man in office to release a prophetic generation. You got to understand, he's not going to look like, he even said to Cyrus, you don't know me, but you're going to get to know me. You don't know me, but I'm putting you here to take Babylon down. There is a reason why he's in office. You may not like him, but there's a purpose for him being in office. He's going to take the Babylonian system down. I don't know if you've even read about it, but he's about the point. The Federal Reserve Board. He has the authority to appoint the Federal Reserve Board. Any of you know anything about the Federal Reserve? A privately held institution that runs our money system globally. Hello. You need to not just form your opinions on somebody, what the news tells you. You need to see what's going on behind the scenes. Why everybody hates him so much, there might be a reason. Amen. It's all about power and wealth. You got to understand that. Just understand that where there is a Cyrus, there is freedom. Say, where there is a Cyrus, there's freedom and liberty. God's about to call his people out from a system. He's been forging and forming this for a long time, and it's about to release. He said, verse 2, he said, who has raised up a righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, and gave nations before him. Now he's speaking of Cyrus, but also speaking of Trump. Everyone say amen. He was from the East Coast. Praise God. The Sanhedrin priesthood confirmed. They put Cyrus's picture in Trump's picture because he acknowledged Jerusalem's right for their capital to be the capital of Israel. He acknowledged that. No other sitting president did that. And they put the coin, said, you are the Cyrus of our generation. So verse 4, he said, for who hath wrought it and done it? Now, this is the part I want you to see. Amen. This is the part God has me hold in. And you're going to see this thread. Amen. Watch this. He says, calling the generation from the beginning. I, the Lord, the first and the last am he. I call the generations from the beginning. What does your idols do? He's actually going to just make this argument over and over again. What can they do? Call them up. Call everyone who serves them, basically, is what he's saying. Ask them to produce the future. Ask them to tell the future. Ask them to prophesy it, line upon line, and call it from the very beginning of time. Because I, the Lord, have done that with my people, and I'm going to continue to do it. Amen? And what's that mean to you and I? God will speak the future to us. He is not leaving us in the dark about what is happening on this planet. If you are close to the Lord, if you're abiding in him, God will speak to you. A lot of people say, oh, God doesn't speak to me. Listen, if you're close to him, he'll speak to you. You cannot hang around light and not have light. It's just impossible. God is light. You hang around with him. A lot of people, they want to hear the voice of God. They're doing all these things. Listen, just get really close to the Lord and you'll start hearing from him. Amen. Start abiding in him. He'll talk to you. He'll speak to you. He's light. That's what he does. Amen. Okay, go to Isaiah 41. Now here again, he says this, verse 21. And what I'm honing in on these promises, every time he says this, I'm laying this to heart because I am asking God for something. Very large, very big. Amen. Verse 21, he says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Now watch this. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Because he's really still talking about the idolatry. Because you served all this idolatry. Why'd they ever do that? Let them bring them forth and let them tell us what's happened. He says, let them show the former things what they be, that they may consider them and know the latter end of them and declare us things for to come. What are you serving? But here's what God's, the point he's going to be making over and over in this chapter. He goes, whatever you're giving your heart to, can it prophesy your future? Can it dot the I and cross the T? kind of lay a pathway out and tell you exactly what's going to happen. Who you are, where you're going. I said this the other day, I'm like, all these psychic houses. You ever seen a psychic house just perfect? They're all beat up. They look like shacks torn down. I'm going to go in there and let that person tell me what's going to happen in my future. First thing I tell them, like, you need to prophesy your own future before you start prophesying mine. What shall it be? Consider them and know the latter end of them and declare things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter that we may know that you're God. If you're God, then show us what's going to happen because that's what I promise I'll do. I promise you that I'll show you things to come. I promise you that I'll show it to you before it happens. I'll declare your end from the beginning. That's what I'll do. That's my promise as God to you. I will not leave you in the dark. You are a light of this world and I will declare your end from the beginning. There's a lot of people in here. You're wondering about your future right now. There's a lot of things going on about your future, the uncertainty of the future. You don't know what's going to happen. God promises He'll speak your end from the beginning. You can hold these scriptures that God, you said you would declare my end from the beginning. Matter of fact, go over to chapter 46. 46 verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there's none other than me. God does a whole lot of bragging in these 8 chapters. But God's got the goods, He can do that. Because what He's doing, He's confronting them with the things that their heart served, idolatry. You may not be serving an idol on a table, but what are you giving your heart to over and over again? What is it doing for you? Because God's saying, this is what I'll do for you. That's what He's saying here. Verse 9, He said, remember the former things of old, for I am God, there's none other. I am God, there is none like me. Amen. Watch this. Declaring the end from the beginning. You need to get used to that point that God will declare your end to you. He will show you what is to come. He's not asking you to walk in darkness. He's asking you to walk in His light. And in His light, He will show you things to come. He will declare your end from the beginning of where you are. You'll know who you are. You'll know what you're called to do. You'll know where you're supposed to go to college. He'll show you. He'll show you. He'll show you what your next job is. Some of you are in a dead-end place, like, you don't know what to do. That's what you need to get up in these chapters and say, God, this is what you promised. If I'd serve you, if I'd give my heart to you, if I'd fall in love with you again, you would show me my end from the beginning. You would open for me and show it to me so I don't have to wish, wonder, hope. I would know. Say, I would know. He said He declares it. That word declare means to show, tell, bring to light, proclaim. All the way God speaks, He will declare your end. That means all the way, some of the way, halfway, next year, next 7 days. All of it. God stands as Alpha and Omega and everywhere in between. There's nothing He won't show. It's where you put your faith and interject it in there. Amen. He says, declaring from ancient time to things that are not yet done. Say, my counsel shall stand. Your idol's counsel will not stand, but mine will stand. What I say will come to pass. Even there he talks about Cyrus. He just called him a ravenous bird. Hello. That's what he called him. Look at verse 11. Calling a ravenous bird from the east. The man that will execute my counsel. I'm going to raise him up. I'm going to take Babylon down. I'm going to release my people. And they're coming out of captivity. And the wealth of Babylon's coming with them. All of that was for that generation. All of that is for our generation. All of it. We're going to be freed from that system. The white horse is going to run, baby. Everyone say, we in season. Locked and loaded. Can I have amen? Chapter 48. All right, chapter 48, verse 3. Say, I have declared. I have declared the former things. from the beginning. That they went forth out of my mouth. I showed them, and watch this, I did them. Suddenly, I declared it, I showed it, and I did it suddenly. God's not going to show you your future. He's going to do it suddenly. One day you're in Babylon, the next day you're out. One day you're under the system, the next day you're out. One day you're in debt, the next day you're out. One day you're in chains, the next day you're out. I declare your chains be loose. I declare you be freed from the systems of this world that are governing. Not only will I show it, I'll declare it, and I will do it. I will do it suddenly. I will say the suddenly of God is coming upon us. The suddenly of God. Man, I'm holding that in my heart. Say, Father, not only do you declare it, you show it, you do it, you do it, you show it, you do it. You show me the end from the beginning. Say, you show me the end from the beginning. What is the end? He shows you all of it. Shows you next week's end. 1 month's end. 6 months. 1 year. 5 years. He shows it. He lays it out. He's showing the political events. He's showing the global events. He's showing the individual events. He's showing the church events. He's showing it all. You got to listen to what he's saying. He'll declare it. He'll show it. And then he does it. Amen. Look at verse 5. Isaiah 48. I have even from the beginning declared to thee before it came to pass. I showed it to you. Before it happened, I showed it. You better get used to this concept. When the Lord went to do anything, he knew exactly what he was going to do before he did it. I only do what I see my Father doing. What my Father doeth, that the Son doeth. He goes and does it. I watch him do it, and then I go and do it. He's watching prophetically his day laid out for him, and then he goes and does exactly what he saw the Father do, and he gets all the results. Because God's light has gone out in front of him. He's not walking in darkness. When he was healing people, he just wasn't randomly healing them. He was doing exactly what the Father showed him. The Father would show it, he would do it. That's true faith. True faith is seeing what the Father's doing. True faith is seeing the end from the position of where you are. So the time he heals this guy, he said, I already saw this guy healed once. My Father's already healed him once. Now I'm going to go do what my Father is doing. See that? That is an operation of the seven spirits of God. That is an operation of the seven eyes of the Lord. It's going to be a predominant operation in the body of Christ that is coming. I call it omnipresent omniscience. God showing the end from the beginning, seeing and doing according to what God is saying. Amen? This is what we're moving into. Verse 6, Isaiah 48. Thou hast heard all this, and will you not declare it? I have showed thee. Now he's getting into new things. He says this about three different times. I have showed you new things. Say new things. It's time for some of us to get some fresh stuff. Amen. From heaven. New things. New vision. Some new life. Amen. To get out of the staleness of life. God will shake you. I'm going to show you some new things. Just forget about everything I showed you before. Let's start some new things. New things. You said new things. Because when I read these verses, I'm not reading them back for them. I'm reading it for our generation. I am one of those people. That's in Babylon right now. I am Zerubbabel, ready to come out. Amen. I'm ready to come out. There was a Zerubbabel. There's a Zerubbabel. Amen. I'm going to come out. You said you would do new things. Show me new things. I want to see new things. I want to see the end from the beginning. I want to see it executed. I want to see it. Amen. I'll show ye new things. When you go home and read this week, Isaiah 40 through 48, you have to read this in the light of the prophetic generation we're living in. If you don't know that, get my teachings on the Trump Cyrus generation. You'll know God speaking about this generation. Amen? Read it in the light of you, not them, you, because he is directly speaking to you in this prophetic generation. Amen? He says, I have showed them new things from this time, even hidden things. Say hidden things. God is going to open not only the mysteries of his word, he's going to start opening up some hidden things for us that the world can't see, but you're going to see it. The world can't see the next technology that's coming upon the earth. But God, wisdom, said wisdom, findeth out the knowledge of witty invention. Those are the hidden things. There's some hidden things out there. So hidden things that heaven wants to reveal. What if God called one of you to receive one of the next greatest technology in the earth? Hidden things that thou didst not know. They are created now. Look at that. I'm going to create them now. And not from the beginning. Even before the day when you heardest me say. Lest you should say, behold, I knew them. So I'm going to do something new that you don't know. How many know God will show you something you don't know? This is what you've got to come into God's presence for. Show me something I don't know. Look, if my present knowledge would get me where I needed to be, I'd already be there. Obviously, I need something I don't know. Come to the Lord humble like that and say, I lay down. Oh, man, I am in a place of surrender right now. Just the Lord said, the more you surrender, the more grace you get. The more you lay down who you are, the more you're going to get who I am. The more you get out of the way, the more I get in the way. Amen. Sometimes the hardest thing is get out of the way. We're too busy trying to fix it. Monica was prophesying out there. She goes, I had to stop trying to fix it. She had that A-type personality. Now, sometimes God will use that, but you got to get that thing surrendered. Amen. And then it started, and then all of a sudden, boom, peace came. The answer came. Amen. He shows us new things. Shows us things we did not know before. This is called omniscience, divine intelligence. God is offering. He says, go ask your idol for that. See what he can give you. Go ask the dead piece of wood to give you some divine intelligence. Basically, he's saying to us, whatever you're giving your heart and mind to day and out, go ask it to give your future to you. Go ask it to teach you something you didn't know. Go ask it to prosper you. But he says, I'll show you things you did not know. God's offering divine intelligence to this generation. The seven spirits of God, the seven eyes of the Lord, the capacity to see where we could not see before. If you get insight into areas others don't have insight into, and you're getting insight into the hidden things, and you get it and nobody else has got it. You know, Isaac, when he went there, and Gerard, back in those days, they were always waiting for the rain. To water the fields, and there was a famine in land, and Isaac got insight because he was operating off of the mantle of Abraham, and God gave him insight. He said, go dig the wells of your father Abraham. He came into this land before you. Go find his wells and redig them. There's water down there. Well, nobody ever thought of it. They made fun of him. He was out there digging. They were making fun of him until water came up. When you have water and nobody else has water, suddenly, he's wealthy. He gets so wealthy that the king, Gerard, he kicks him out of the land. And so, because they're fighting over the wells, and the enemy will do that. You'll get a well, so, oh, that's my way. He'll come and try to steal it. But God, instead of fighting over it, God just gave him another well. So you can have that one. I got some more over here. And he kept digging, and God kept giving, and he found another well and another. And the Bible says, I think it's in Genesis 22, he found another well. And King Gerard, he got so wealthy, after he kicked him out and got upset with him, he went and made a league with him. He goes, look, I have to admit, God's with you. He goes, can we make a kind of a friendship league here? I was upset with you, but just forgive me. You know, he was kind of that guy, I've been with you all along. You know I love you. I've been with you all along, even though I kicked you out, I really loved you. But I need what you got. All that was coming out of insight God was giving him, divine intelligence, showing him how to find water when nobody else could find it. This is the kind of things God's saying. This is what I want to give you. New things, say new things. Go to 42. I'm living in this right now because I'm bringing this up for the Father. I'm going to give you a scripture here in a minute. It's going to blow you out of the saddle. Okay, so Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass. Here he goes again. New things do I declare. Oh, I love this. Before they actually spring forth, I tell you of them. He's saying before they spring forth into manifestation, before they spring forth and consummate where everyone else sees them, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. I'll tell you before everybody else. Before the world gets to see it, you'll see it. You'll see it before it comes to manifestation. Listen, my friends, if you see something that the world cannot see, and you see it before they see it, because you're seeing it before it actually comes to manifestation, before it springs forth, you see it, you get God to position you into it. You see that? He'll position you in, and when he's positioned you, listen, there's a lot of positioning going on. Listen, there's a lot of people of you are positioned right now because you see what's coming. Amen? Your position, if you get positioned, then when it springs forth and everybody goes, wow, well, you're the first one in there. Amen? Say, I'm first and not last. Above only, not beneath. God's doing a new thing. He says it three, four different times in here, new things, new things, new things. Everyone say new things. Lift your hand and say, Father, new things. New things. Stop ordering your life around what he is. Stop looking at life. How am I going to get out of this? Don't worry about where you are. See what God's saying. Stop looking at where you are and start looking at the end from your beginning. You want your answer, you got to get out in front. You're not going to find your answer where you are. You got to get out in front. And the Spirit of God is saying, I'll take you to the end. I'll show you what's out in front of you before you get there. I'll make a path for you in the mighty waters. I'll make a way in your sea. I'll make a path for you. I'll bring you out from the desert. Father, we lift our hand. We receive. We receive the new things. Today we receive the new things. Today we receive the hidden things. Today, Father, we receive the mantle of the seven eyes of the Lord that go to and fro the whole earth. The eyes of the Lord are all throughout the earth. They're in past, present, and future. You took Moses all the way back to Genesis. You took John all the way in front of us. Father, you can take us anywhere in between. Father, you can take us into the next 7 years, Father. You can take us into the next 7 days. Father, you can show us things to come, the new things, the hidden things. Father, we thank you for positioning this body into the new things. Positioning us, Father, to see, to know, to hear, to understand. Wisdom speaketh excellent things to us. She findeth out the knowledge of witty invention. She findeth out the knowledge of new things. She shares it with us. You clothe us, Father, in the seven spirits of God. You clothe us, Father, in omniscience, omnipresent omniscience. Capacity to see outside of the time we're in, the capacity to see outside of the laws that are governing time and space. Father, you launch our spirit outside of the laws that are governing time and space. We can see outside of the dimension we're presently living in. Whoo, I feel that. Your spirit is not confined to the laws that are governing this earth. Your flesh man may be confined to gravity, but your spirit is not. It's not confined to time either. It can move out. You understand when Moses, he said, show me your glory. God said, I can't show you what's in front. And you know what he's saying? Because you represent the law and the law is going to be done away with. So I can't show you what's in front of the law, but I'll show you the hinder parts. He was 2,500 B.C. He was born around 2,500 time. God took him all the way back to Adam. You know who wrote the book of Genesis? Moses. That's 2,500 years later. And he wrote about details. He didn't have a computer like yours. Who could pass down letters of that kind of detail? God, for 40 days and 40 nights, let him walk through history. Showed him the former things. Showed him the end, showed him the beginning, and took him all the way up to where he was. He said, now write, Moses. Write the glory of creation. Write the glory of the patriarchs. Write the glory of Noah. Write, Moses. Write. John took him in front 2,000 years into days and ages that we haven't even been into yet. Not only was he there, he's interacting.
He was interceding. They were walking around, talking to him, showing him events that hadn't even happened. John's going to get to live out what we've already lived. The second time, he's going to watch the whole thing. He's already been there. We haven't even got where he's been. That's what I'm talking about. This is the powers of the age to come. This is how God's going to adorn us in the last days. This is the seven spirits of God. This is the operation of the seven eyes of the Lord. Amen. I say amen. Chapter 43. Let all the nations, verse 9, be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Where are you going to go? This is what he's saying. Where are you going to go to get what I am offering you? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to go talk to? Go to Babylon. See if they can give you the future. Because I'm telling them their future. I'm about to take them down. That's what God's saying to our generation. Where are you going to go to give you what God is offering to give you? Hidden things, declaring the end from the beginning, showing and laying out your life in front of you and walking it out. Walking in a prophetic light. Where are you going to go? He specifically prophesies the fall of Babylon in this chapter. Verse 14, he said, the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I've sent to Babylon and I have brought down all their nobles. He's prophesying. Go down to verse 18. Now he's saying, remember you not. See how many times he says this? He's trying to get his point across. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, what? I do a new thing. Here he is. He says it again. And now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? What he's saying is, listen, we should not be a people when something happens. We should have already seen it before it happened. Listen, God didn't do anything without telling Abraham. He says, I can't go until I tell Abraham, my friend. I can't do this. I got to tell Abraham, my friend, what I do. That's the kind of relationship God wants the Latter-day Church. That nothing's going to happen without us knowing it. Nothing big's coming on the scene without us having the foreknowledge of it. Amen? Politically, financially, spiritually. Amen. I'm also talking about in your home. God will show you impending danger before it happens. You can intercede against it. You can be in front of the enemy assignments against the children. Be in front of the enemy's assignments against you at the workplace. You can be in front and not behind. This is the kind of light that the Lord walked in. It's the kind of light God's offering us to walk in now. Shall you not know it? I'm going to close with this verse. Go to Isaiah 30. God needs to open our eyes the way He wants us to operate, literally. He wants us to operate in a light that's in front of us, that's all around us. He wants to expose us to light that we don't know. We have to surrender what we know so we can know what He knows. As long as we want to walk in the light of our own ways, we're not going to have His. But we surrender and we start becoming interdependent upon Him, hungry and thirsty to know what God knows. He'll share it with us. God likes to share His secrets. God likes to share things to come. God likes to declare the end from the beginning. You get close to Him, He likes to tell you what's going to happen. That's what He does when you're His friend. You have a right to come to Him when you're close to Him. You know, if you're living apart from Him and you're saying, show me, that didn't work. You got to be next to Him. You got to be close to Him. You got to be dwelling with Him. You got to abide in Him. But when you do, you have a right to ask Him, show me. Show me. Declare the end from the beginning. Watch this one. Man, this has become such a vivid reality. It's like day and night living in these verses. I'm reading through all these chapters every day, filling my spirit up. Every one of these, God, you said this. This is for our generation. This is your promise to us. That we don't have to be in the dark about anything. Isaiah 30, verse 26. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be the light of the sun. And the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day the Lord bindeth up the breach of His people and healeth the stroke of their wound. He's saying, the day I come and get you, your night will be day. But your day is going to be as the light of 7 days. So you're going to walk every single day in the light of 7 days. In other words, you're going to see 7 days all the time. How do you think the Lord knew everything that was going on all the time? He even knew when they come to Lazarus. He knew when Lazarus was sick and he held himself back for 2 days. And Martha and Mary were disgusted with him for doing that. He said they knew the Jews. He knew the Jews were laying wait to stone him, and he held back for 2 days. He knew how long to hold back. He knew when they would depart, their scheme and their plot, and he knew when to go. Even at the death of Lazarus, did not move him, because he knew he was going to go raise him from the dead anyway. But he also knew how to steer away from danger. He could see, because even Thomas said, he said, the Jews have laid wait to stone you. Are you going in? He goes, listen, do I not walk in the light of the day? Are there not 12 hours in a day? I'm walking in a light that you don't have. I see things that you don't see. I've already seen it. We've already waited 2 days. They've already dismantled. It's time to go. 7 day light. How'd you like to have a 7 day light in front of you? Nothing would happen without you knowing it. Nothing would take you by surprise. If you had some serious vision of what you could do with a 7 day light, I'm just going to leave that with the Lord with you. You have no idea what you could do with a 7 day light. I know what I can do with it. I'm holding that. Father, I have no more night. There is no more night in my life. There's no darkness anymore. I see all the time. But Father, I thank you. The light that I've been presently walking in now is going to reach out 7 days. 7 day searchlight. Father, I thank you for 7 days of light all the time. A continuous, in that seven prong candlestick, 7 days of light. Father, I thank you that I'm walking in 7 continuous days of light. What could you do with 7 days of light? I pray you get a vision. Amen. Father, thank you for your glorious promises to this prophetic generation. We are this prophetic generation. You were speaking these verses to us a long time ago. We're in season to come out now. And Father, our light, there is no more night for us. Our night is as the day, and our day is the light of 7 days. Father, we thank you. You're turning up the light now of the 7 eyes of the Lord, that we may truly see, Father, beyond the capacities of the present time we live in, the present space. We see beyond where we are. We see beyond. Father, we thank you. You have given us the light of 7 days, and new things you're declaring in those 7 days. New things, Father, you're declaring. Shall we not know them? Shall we not see them? Before they come to pass, we'll see it. We'll get positioned for it. Father, thank you for the new thing. Father, thank you for the new thing. Father, thank you. You're declaring the end from the beginning. 7 years of light. 7 days of light. 7 hours of light. Father, your gift to our generation is light. Every good gift, Father, and every perfect gift is coming down from you, the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning, Father. We thank you, Lord, that he that followeth you will have the light of life. We follow in closely now. We come into alignment with you, surrendering our ways, surrendering our way, surrendering our light for yours. Our knowledge is not going to get us there. It's the light of 7 days that's going to get us there. It's the light of the new things, declaring the end from the beginning. Father, thank you for the glory. Thank you for the grace. Father, as I'm praying and prophesying over this house, that you open the heavens freely. Over this house, you open the heavens to grant us a great light. This candlestick is that light that you have given us. This golden lampstand is the light, Father. Father, we thank you for the dunamis oil. We thank you for the igniting of this end time light. where we will see beyond our capacities. We will see, Father, a prophetic generation that knows no night. You're the Father of lights. You fill this house with light. The Lord doth light my candle. The Lord doth enlighten my darkness. Amen.